If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share with you today from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse number 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. The title of my message today is All About Love. All About Love. Been doing a sermon series on salt and light, bringing God's kingdom into our culture. And I thought it would be a fitting conclusion to that series today on Valentine's Day to talk about the greatest way to bring God's kingdom into our culture, through love. Now, I know what you may be thinking, well, Valentine's Day is not a spiritual, you know, holy day. It's a man-made day, and, you know, the chocolate companies and greeting card companies make a fortune. Have you noticed the price of greeting cards lately? Yeah. I get that. But I think any opportunity we have to focus on love, the Bible says so much about love. I think any opportunity we have to focus on that and to hear from God's word on what it means to truly love is an opportunity worth taking, don't you? Amen. Thank you for that underwhelming response. Amen. I do, and you know this as well as I do. In many, many cases, the world's idea of love is a distorted notion of love. It's perverted. It's not pure as the love of God is. And so I wanted to share. The Bible has a lot to say about love. I could have preached from any of a number of passages this morning, but I wanted to preach here from 1 John chapter 4. On the subject, All About Love. Now, I say all about love. This is not going to be the last word or the complete and final word on love. But as I said, I do believe the Word of God gives us the clearest understanding of what true love is. And so I want to look this morning for the next few minutes at three aspects of love and allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts. You know, we use the word love for a lot of things. You know, I love apple pie, or, you know, I love, you know, the Washington football team, which I don't, by the way. But judging by some of the masks I see, some of you still do. So, you know, we use love to describe a lot of things, but the Word of God tells us what true love is. And so I want to look, as I said, at three aspects of true love. The first we see here is love described, a description of true love. And we find this in verses 7 and 8 of the passage that we read here in 1 John chapter 4. First thing in the description of love that we need to understand is that love emanates from God. Love emanates from God. John says, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God." Did you know that? The source of love is God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life." God is the source of love. Without God, there is no such thing as love. Not in its purest sense. Love comes from God. And when John says, "Love one another, for love comes from God," what he's communicating to us is this: we can't love other people in our own power, our own strength. We may think we can. You know, Jesus said in one place, "Love your enemies." Is that a natural thing? Of course it isn't. It's not humanly possible, is it, to love your enemies? But Jesus said, "Love your enemies." How is that possible? Because love comes from God. He so loved us when we were lost in sin. Amen, church? When we were far away from God, the scripture says he loved us with an everlasting love. So love comes from God. If you have found it impossible to love, maybe you need to check the source of your love. Are you trying to generate it on your own? Doesn't work, does it? Recognize, first of all, that love comes from God. Second part of the description of love is that love is exclusively from God. Look at later on in verse 7. "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So everyone who loves is born of God. True love is expressed and promulgated by those who know God. Did you know that? Now, I know people develop affection for one another. And I know that's a universal human trait, and that's a good thing. But we're talking about more than affection. We're talking about pure love. Some of you may know that the New Testament is translated into English from the original language of Greek. And koine, or common everyday Greek. And the Greek, what's the Greek word for love? Do you know what it is? Agape. You ever hear that? Agape at its core means a selfless love. A love that places an interest upon the person being loved rather than the person loving. It's a selfless love. It's an outward directed love. And John tells us here that true love comes only from God. It not only comes from God, but it comes exclusively from God. That's why I say we can't love in our own strength. We don't have the ability to generate love. It comes from God alone. One place the scripture says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. If you want to love like the Word of God tells you to love, understand that the only place that love comes from is from Almighty God. If there's someone you're struggling to love, if there's someone because of the way they treat you or because of conflict or problems that you find it pretty much impossible to love, understand that you can't love them in your own strength. The only place that love for other people, especially those difficult people, comes from is Almighty God. It's exclusively from God. Everyone who loves is born of God. So love emanates from God. Love is exclusively from God. And the third part of the description is this: love is emblematic of God. So what do you mean by that? Well, the three words at the end of verse 8 are very clear. God is love. Don't you love that? God is love. You know, you can say a lot of things about God, his character. That the study of God is called theology theology, there are many branches to theology, but the narrow focus of theology is the study of God and His character. And as I said from this pulpit, we will be throughout all eternity learning more and more about God and never fully understand Him. He is so far beyond us, amen, that we will never in this life or in eternity fully grasp who He is. He is so multifaceted. He is so beyond our understanding. And there are many attributes of God spoken of in Scripture. God is holy. He's pure holiness, pure perfection. God is compassionate. God is merciful. God is perfect. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And we can go on and on about the attributes of God, and they are all worthy of our understanding, worthy of study. But John tells us here the number one characteristic, the defining characteristic of this perfect Almighty God is His love. That's the reason He created us. That's the reason He spoke the universe into existence. The Scriptures are clear, a study of the Scriptures are clear, that God being perfect needs nothing. Do we understand that? God is not, the notion that God would need something means He is not perfect, He is not complete, He is not entirely self-sufficient. That's just not true. God is entirely self-sufficient. He's perfect. He lacks nothing. He needs nothing. He didn't create this universe. He didn't create you and me because He needed to. He did so out of love, out of His capacity to love. He created us. Have you thought about that? Our very existence, all the things, I know life can be tough sometimes, but the reality is life is a blessing. Life is a joy. Amen? Just ask somebody who's been near death. They'll tell you. Every day, every moment, every second is precious. Life is a gift. Life is a joy. Why do we have that? Because God loved us enough to create us. Out of all the qualities of Almighty God, the most descriptive one is that He is love. He is emblematic of love. You want to know what love is, you look at God. You understand God. You'll to the extent we can understand God, we'll understand love. So love is, it emanates from God. It's exclusively from Him and nowhere else. And it's emblematic of who He is. One day the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon was walking through the English countryside with a friend. As they strolled along, the evangelist noticed a barn with a weather vane on its roof. At the top of the vane were the words, "God is love." Spurgeon remarked to his companion that he thought this was a rather inappropriate place for such a message. He says, "Weather vanes are changeable," he said, "but God's love is constant." "I don't agree with you about those words," his friend replied. "You misunderstand the meaning. That sign is indicating a truth that regardless of which way the wind blows, God is love." Isn't that awesome? Regardless of our difficulties, regardless of our problems, regardless of the rejection or the pain we may feel from someone else, God is love. Love comes from God. Love is exclusively from Him. It's who He is. And if we ever want to truly love, as the Word of God tells us to, we need to understand that love comes from God. Hallelujah. God's desire is that His love, like the moon reflects the light of the sun, that we would reflect the love of God to those who are around us, like we sang this morning. That's a description of love. The second thing we want to look at this morning is, in addition to love described, is love demonstrated. How many know it's one thing to describe something, it's another thing to demonstrate it? Right? Somebody's trying to tell you to do a complex procedure or something you've never done before, and they can describe it, and they can list the steps, and you can read them, and your eyes can kind of glaze over, right? And what do you say? That's all great, and I see that, but you know, for some of us at least, show me how. Show me what it looks like. Well, we learn how to love from a demonstration of love. First of all, verse 9 tells us love was demonstrated when God's Son was sent into the world. Look at verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. He demonstrated His love. How would we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God loves us? Because God, in the form of His Son, God the Son, became one of us. Isn't that awesome? When you consider how far above us God is, we talked recently about Him being transcendent. He is above all. He is beyond us. I mean, the Word of God says He spoke and the universe came into existence. Does that make you stand back in awe? It does me. That's who Jesus, the Son of God, is. And yet, what did He do? He became a little baby. He became a human. He became flesh and blood. He became one of us. I mean, the plan of God in having His Son become flesh, become human, it's beyond brilliant. It's mind-boggling. It goes beyond what we can even comprehend, doesn't it? The Creator became the creation. God, who is limitless, God who has no boundaries, He took no limits. He took on the limitations of flesh. Jesus became one of us. When you cut Him, He bled. He was subject to the cold and the heat. He could bruise just like we could bruise. He was subject to the human limitations of human flesh. Why did He, Philippians 2 says He emptied Himself. And as much as we talk about it, as much as we study it, as much as we try to grasp it, we still can't fully understand what it meant for God to become man. We can get our mind around it just a little bit. Is that right? Contemplate. He was sent into, God demonstrated His love. You know, it's important to express love. I tell that to couples in premarital counseling. It's important to verbally express your love for one another. Don't just assume that it's understood. You need to express your love. And that's important. But even more important is then to follow that up by demonstrating your love. By loving sacrificially, by loving fully. Isn't that right, couples? It's Valentine's Day. Come on. There's going to be a lot of I love yous going around. And, you know, that's great to hear. But what really matters is when it's demonstrated. Love was demonstrated when God's Son was sent into the world. But it gets better than that. God also demonstrated His love when His Son became the sacrifice for our sin. Verse 10 says this, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As if God becoming man didn't boggle our minds enough, He came for the express purpose, we know this, He came for the express purpose of offering His life, His sinless life, as the sacrifice for our sins. Wow. You talk about a demonstration of love. You talk about putting your money where your mouth is, to use an expression. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore our sin. The guiltless for the guilty. I hope that never just becomes cliched. I hope it never becomes passé. Yeah, we know that. We know the doctrine. We understand. I hope it just never just becomes a ritualistic understanding. I hope we never lose the awe and the wonder and the amazement that the Son of God demonstrated His love by willingly going to the cross and suffering and paying the price for my sin and for your sin. Because He loved us. Oh, He demonstrated His love for us. A certain medieval monk announced he would be preaching the next Sunday evening on the love of God. As the shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered together. In the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle and carried it to the crucifix. First of all, he illuminated the crown of thorns. Next, the two wounded hands. And then the marks of the spear wound. In the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and then left the sanctuary because there was nothing else to say. I can tell you I love you, but when I demonstrate it, that's when it has meaning. God not only expressed His love verbally, He demonstrated His love by sending His Son to become one of us, by causing His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins, for paying our penalty. He demonstrated His love. Jesus said, "There's no one has greater love for a friend than this, than to lay down his life." Aren't you thankful this morning that God backed up His words, that God demonstrated His love by sending His Son to be our sacrifice? I'm so thankful. Can we just take a moment and praise Him? Can we just take a moment and thank Him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that You demonstrated Your love for us. While we were in our sins, You loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We've seen love described and love demonstrated. Thirdly, John tells us about love displayed. This is where we come in. This is our part. First thing we need to understand is that we have a responsibility to love. We have a responsibility to love. Verse 11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." That word ought, that's a word of responsibility. We have a responsibility to love. We ought to love. God poured out His love for us. We need to love one another. Well, Pastor Tim, you know, I love pretty much everybody, but you know, there's this one guy, right? Don't look around the room if you're here. There's this lady, you know, that really tests the limits of my love. Come on, we all feel that. Somebody said they're an EGR. That's an extra grace required person, you know. John said, because we've received the pure love of God, we ought to love one another. I may not like everything you say or everything you do. I may not agree with you. We may not vote the same. We may not look at issues the same. But I've got to love you. I've got to love you. And you have to love me. You've got to. I used to tease my kids and my wife. I'd say, you have to love me. It's in the Bible. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, don't we? You know, how do we... Jesus said the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like, he summarized the Ten Commandments with two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We make it so complicated, don't we? There are a lot of things in life that are complicated. Love doesn't have to be. It's not always easy. As I said, it's supernatural. And if there's someone you're struggling to love, I can tell you what you need to do. You need to pray, God, help me to love that person. And you know, the best way to love someone that seems like it's hard to love, act toward them as if you loved them. Do loving things. Pastor Tim, that's phony. No, it's not. It's doing what we ought to do. It's fulfilling our responsibility. You see, we have this notion that love is all bound up in feelings. Well, if you feel love towards someone, that's great. But if you don't, you need to love them anyway. Love is not just a feeling. So we have a responsibility to love. And if you struggle with loving someone, just act toward them like you love them. Just do acts of love. I said this a few weeks ago. You can't hate someone and pray for them at the same time. You can't do it. If there's someone you don't feel like you can love, you start to pray for them. God will melt your heart with love for that person. They may not treat you any better. You know, you may not be vacation buddies. You may not get a Christmas card. It's okay. You pray for that person, and you act toward them as you love them, and you will fulfill your responsibility to love them. Feelings will come later. Amen? How many have found that to be true? So we have a responsibility to love, and we see also that in displaying love, we are the revelation of God's love. We are the revelation of God's love. Verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. If we love one another, God lives in us, his love is made complete in us. We are the revelation of God's love. Scripture says elsewhere, they will know, Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Oh, I thought it was if we have our doctrine in order. Doctrine's important. But what really makes the difference if we love one another. Do we understand what an awesome privilege it is to be the revelation of God's love? There are people who will never open a Bible to read about God's demonstration of love through Christ. They'll never come through those doors. But they can know the love of God as our lives reveal God's love to them. We're called to display his love. In 1976, Lynette Squeaky Fromm exploded onto every front page in America. She pushed her way through a crowd and tried to kill President Gerald Ford. She was 17 years old. Investigators found that she was a follower of Charles Manson. You know who Charles Manson was? The fanatical leader of a band of killers. News magazines began to dig into Squeaky Fromm's background, and they found that she felt like a misfit in her town. So she wandered across the country till she reached California, and there she met Manson, and he promised to take care of her. She went along with him and expressed her willingness to kill and to die for him. Reporters asked her after her arrest, "Why would you give your life to a man like Charles Manson?" She said this. She said that early in her teenage years, she was so looking for love that she made up her mind. She said, quote, "Whoever loves me first can have my life. Whoever loves me first can have my life." The world is looking for love, true love, God's love, and they find it in us. I have a short video I want to show you, and then we'll conclude.
What if we could love the way Jesus did? Passionately, faithfully, powerfully. What if the way we love could make a difference in the world around us? What if that love looked at everyone the way God does? A love which doesn't see the past, but is consumed by a desire to see people come to know Jesus. A love which is patient and kind, not envious or prideful. A love which puts others before ourselves, chooses peace over anger. A love which protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Do we love like this? Do we love like Jesus? Maybe it's time to ask a simple question. How can we love better?
Closing this morning, I heard a story about a man who was out on the street walking. He happened to walk past a bookstore. And he looked inside, and he saw a book on the spine that said, "How to Hug." And being somewhat of a romantic, he thought that was interesting. So he went into the store, and he pulled the volume off the shelf, and he discovered, to his surprise, that it wasn't a book on how to hug people. It was part of an encyclopedia with the section that was from the letters H-O-W to the letters H-U-G. It was an encyclopedia. It was a textbook, if you will. And too often, we as Christians, we might offer a technical meaning of the word love. The world's not looking for that. The world's looking for a demonstration of love. The world is looking for love. Dear friends, let us love one another.